We've come again to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're studying the tragic reign of Saul. Poor Saul, he started off so humbly, but he was not so much humble before God as he was humble before men. And then given roles of leadership and authority as king over Israel, he thought he knew better than God, and he would take matters into his own hands. God would test him and would be sore displeased with the outcome that he had out of Saul. And in the lesson we're studying now, it is about the time when God told Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites and how he did not. You'll want to turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel 15 as we continue in this study. And while you're doing that, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're studying a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of March the 9th, 1924. Let me go back and remind you what the Amalekites had done that made God so angry at them, so that God determined that he would destroy them. It was when the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt. We read in Exodus 17, 8 through 16. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. But Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And Jehovah said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it into the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, and said, Jehovah hath sworn, Jehovah will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And so the time had now come, after a period of about 400 years, that God was going to send Saul to utterly destroy them. And Saul didn't do it. He spared the king, and he allowed the people to spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen and the fatlings and of the lambs. Now, did Saul obey God? He did not misunderstand God's command. He did not obey God in any particular, not even in slaying the ones he did slay. For he had his own judgment dictated. He would have spared them also if it had been up to him. God's view of Saul's conduct is clear. God's view of Saul's conduct is very different indeed from Saul's view of his own conduct. God says, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. God changed his purpose as to Saul and his family, and determined to set up another man over Israel as king. The reason given is, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. To follow God is to do what he commands. Not to do what he commands is to turn back from following him. To do something else instead of what he commands is to turn from him. this distressed Samuel, and he cried unto Jehovah all night, spending a sleepless night in prayer. Good men now are distressed, and pray to God over the sins of those who profess to be God's people, over those who go beyond the things that are written. Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, and was told by someone that Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a monument, and turned, and passed on, and went down to Gilgal. Carmel was not Mount Carmel. It was a village 10 miles southeast of Hebron, Gilgal being a place where the people had met to worship, and a place of sacred memories. Saul went there to sacrifice to God, as he informs Samuel later on. We read about Saul's view in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 13. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou, Jehovah. I have performed the commandment of Jehovah." Samuel followed Saul to Gilgal, and Saul saluted him, saying this. This form of salutation was used in those who had bestowed a favor or had done well. We read such a salutation in Genesis 14, 17 through 20, where it says, "The king of Sodom went out to meet Abraham, and his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him in the Vale of Sheba, the same as the king's veil. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, as he was priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God, Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand.' And he gave him a tenth of all." And then there's another place, 1 Samuel 23:21, where Saul said, "Blessed be ye of Jehovah, for ye have had compassion on me," something Saul had said to David. Saul said to Samuel, "I have performed the commandment of Jehovah." Saul's course in contention with Samuel on this occasion was to show that he was sincere in this claim. He knew he had not performed the specific acts that God had commanded him. We read that 1 Samuel 9 in verse 21, Saul answered and said, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of the tribes of Israel?" But Saul knew, or he thought, that what he had done and the sacrifices he intended to make at Gilgal would be more honoring and more acceptable to God. But this was a sad mistake and a grievous sin. And so there was controversy between Saul and Samuel. In 1 Samuel 15, 14 and 15 we read, Samuel said, "What then meaneth this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "I brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Jehovah their God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." If Saul had obeyed God in destroying everything, then Samuel asked, "Why do these sheep bleat? Why do these oxen low?" Saul explained why the sheep and oxen were brought from the Amalekites, or what had not done exactly as God had commanded in destroying all. And he put it off on the people. He said, "The people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto Jehovah thy God." If Saul intended to sacrifice to Samuel's God, why should Samuel complain? Besides, Saul laid it on the people. This goes to show that Saul understood just what God had told him to do, but he and the people thought that something else would do not only as well, but even better than that which God had commanded. They intended anyway to kill all these in the end, and at the same time make a great sacrifice to God at Gilgal. They thought that'd be a great day for Jehovah. To sacrifice to God seemed to Saul a justifiable reason for sparing these sheep and these flocks. He said, "The rest we've utterly destroyed. That is, all except the ones we saved for ourselves and our sacrifices. When sacrifices were offered according to God's will, they are honoring to Him. And to honor God today in worship is to obey Him in worship. The desire to worship God, and therefore to honor Him, is good and pure motive. But before God is honored by man's services and sacrifice, they must all be according to His will, and not man's will. Saul, as some think, was not trying to conceal his sin. He had not yet realized how grievously he had sinned. He presumed. He admitted he'd not done just the thing God had commanded, but contended earnestly with Saul that he intended to honor God. Many religious people now seem to reason as did Saul, for they contend that it matters not so much how God is worshipped, just show He is worshipped. Saul's sin seems to have left no impression upon them. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 16, "And Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what Jehovah hath said unto me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. When Samuel said to Saul, Stay, and I'll tell thee what Jehovah hath said this night, Saul replied, Say on, that is, I'm ready to hear it, doubtless expecting that God would bless and honor him for what he had done, since the explanation of his motive was that it was his intent to honor God. Then we read 1 Samuel 15 and verse 17. And Samuel said, Though thou wast little in thine own sight, and wast not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and Jehovah anointed thee king over Israel. Samuel said that. That means that when Saul was humble, and before he became self-conceited and presumptuous. At first Saul was shy and humble. When he was selected as king, he hid himself among the baggage. And we read in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 22, they ask of Jehovah, Is there yet a man thither? And Jehovah answered, Behold, he hideth himself among the baggage. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled. And we read in Luke 14:11, And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The humble man never sets aside, as did Saul, God's commandments for any consideration. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66 and verse 2, But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. He who trembles at God's word never changes God's order of things, lest he should disobey him. He feels his entire dependence upon God for guidance in all things, and receives his word with reverence and awe. When Saul had the spirit, God exalted him. Now that he is self-exalted, God will bring him low. We read in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 18, Jehovah sent thee on a journey and said, Go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be destroyed. And then in verse 19, Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of Jehovah, but did fly upon the spoil, and did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah? The foregoing reasons, Saul was under great obligations to obey God, and it was because of God's mercy. We read in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to the course of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. We're going to have to continue this in our next class, but we need to always remember that to honor God means to obey God, and not to take matters in our own hands and presume that we know better than God when we have God's commands for what He says.